access number 30399 was the Bill Park Reel 9. Now, what you sound bitter even now. Mm. I mean, how did you feel about this termination of what was to you a career, wasn't it? Mm. That was what you were going to be.
That was what I was going to be, yeah. Yeah. What I'd done before, it really took to me. Army life, it really did, and I was gutted. As I said, I wrote to Major Rowan Hamilton, and he was in the same position as myself. They kicked him out and used him, that's what I felt like, used, and just thrown on the heap, like, you know. And even, I wish I'd have kept this letter and all. It was after I returned back to Civvy Street, it may have been the end of April or May, I had a letter asking me to return every piece of kit that I was issued with the first day I joined up. Full service marching order. Housewife 1, cellulose 2. I thought, I don't believe it. All that was in Korea. Yeah. And, no.
You were fairly bitter about
it. I was. I still am. I still am bitter about that, the way they treated you. I got a pension.
Now, what was your pension?
I got a pension.
Disability
pension for my wounds and that.
How much was it? I mean, what rate?
17% at the time. But at the time, I couldn't go back to work. So I had to go on the Labour Exchange to sign on. And at the same time, what they call now is the social. I don't know what they call it because I'm not on it. I don't know what they call it. It used to be called then the UAB. You used to get assistance. It was the assistance board. You used to get, besides your labour money, you got what they call assistance. The UAB. So, right. When I went to the UAB and asked for assistance, yes, very good. The money I got from my labour and assistance, they stopped the money out of that, what I was getting from my disability pension. Oh, great. I'm no better off. Yeah. And at that time, I used to go to Euston, I think every 6 months for an assessment. Before that, I contracted. In the August of that year, I contracted malaria.
This is cerebral malaria.
Cerebral malaria. I was in the North Middlesex Hospital for a fortnight. And this malaria, I used to go into sweats and whatever they call it every other day. Delirious. I used to be delirious. Every other day, they'd have blankets on me. I used to shiver, sweat. They had rubber blankets underneath me.
And this is August 53?
It's August 53, yes. The same year as I was demobbed. And anyway, the North Middlesex Hospital. They never knew what was wrong with me. But Mother used to come up every day and sit with me. She used to say, when I was delirious, I used to swear, you know. I didn't know I was swearing anyway. And not until they said to her one day, do you know where he's been, Mrs. Parr? Has he been out of the country? So she said, well, of course he has. He's been to Korea, just about the army. Ah, malaria. Malaria. That was what they... Yeah, malaria.
And how long did it last? It can kill you, don't it?
Sorry. I know, yes. I still get a little shake now and again. I get tablets from me doctor every time I want to.
Was that the main attack of it, or did you?
That was the main attack. That was, yeah, yeah. That was, yeah. That was the main attack. Yeah.
Now, what about getting a job? I mean, you were on the dole. You were getting a UAB assistance, state benefits of some sort.
Yeah.
Now, what about getting a job? I mean,
well, I ended up being a coalman.
Now, so you couldn't go back to work as a cutter or
I didn't want to. No,
why not? Now,
Didn't want to. I should have done, but I didn't want to. It was, I wanted to be in the open air, you know. I couldn't stand being closed in for a time. When Mother used to, we lived close by to Tottenham High Road. I'd go up there with Mother. Not because I was frightened to go up there, but, you know, I'll say, I'll come up there with your mum, do a bit of shopping. At that time, mums used to do shopping about twice a day, so the stuff was fresh. And if a car banged, I can remember once being with her. A car banged the exhaust, and I dived into Woolworth's doorway, like a bat out of hell. And the sweat was pouring down on me. But
now that's what they call problems in getting used to civilian life.
Yeah,
I mean that's a nervous reaction.
I know.
You may not have been frightened out there, but it's a nervous reaction.
From here.
Were there any other problems you had settling down? You didn't want to be enclosed.
I didn't. Yeah, I want to be out in the open all the time. And I couldn't stand. What couldn't I stand? Anyone being fussy, you know, over little, small little things, I couldn't stand it, you know.
So you're a bit intolerant?
Yeah, over small things, especially in a man who was fussy like a woman, like, you know. For a time, I couldn't stand that, you know.
You didn't start drinking or anything?
Oh, no, I didn't drink.
Bad side.
No, I didn't drink at all. Socially, I would have a drink, but that was it, you know. And I've never been a beer drinker anyway.
Now, how long did it take before you settled down in yourself to being a civilian again?
Oh, a year, I should imagine. A year, 18 months.
That's a long time.
It's a long time before I could really. And I ended up joining the Merchant Navy.
Before you were a coalman?
No, after.
So you worked as a coalman?
Only for a while, yeah, and I couldn't do that because of my back. And they put me down as a loader. Instead of working it, you know, like going out with a load, and they put me down as a loader, but I couldn't stand it anyway. And
so was that your career in the Merchant Navy?
No. Oh, no.
What did you do in the Merchant Navy?
No. I was an oily rag. What they call an engine room artificer, but it's an oily rag, really. Yeah.
So when did you settle down to what was your eventual career?
I was a harness maker.
You got back to horses again?
Yeah.
When did you start
harness
that?
Maker. There was two. There was John Aspin and Derek Tyler. They worked in the city together. And they was harness makers. And then they piled up together and they took a shop in Aspin's Road. Funny enough, John Aspin. Aspin's Road in Tottenham. They took this little shop and they was their own governors as harness makers. Not saddlers, but harness makers, which is totally different from being a saddler.
Now, how did you get the job?
And they said to me, well, living close by there, I used to go to, love the smell of harness and all that. And I knew what harness was all about. Heavy harness, you know. And
when did you start there?
They could do with a sort of make the tea and all that boy, you know, and do this and that. And I started there.
When?
When was that? 60? No, that was 50. 56 Merchant Navy. 56. I started with them. John and Derek.
And did you qualify as a
harness? Yeah.
That was your career then?
Yeah. See, and the thing with these guys, they were masters, because they was telling me that when you went to work as a harness maker at one particular firm, you started off as a strap hand, which all you done was cut the straps. Straight line straps, that's all you done. And that was all you did on that job. To get to advance yourself to a bridle hand, you had to go to another firm as a bridle hand. although you could do the job at this firm, to be a qualified bridal hand, you used to have to go to another firm with it. And that's what they did. That's why they became master saddlers. And eventually they could refurbish collars, pads and all that. And it didn't only, you're not only to work in leather like you do in a saddler's, to be an harness maker, you had to do a bit of woodwork, you had to make your own trees for the pads, the big heavy pads, you had to make your own trees out of hardwood. Eventually you could buy them already done. And you had to be a bit of an engineer with bolts and everything else which you had to do, like, you know. So I've still got my tools now in the cupboard, and some of them tools, round knives and all that, they was handed down to John. John's dead and gone now, and he handed them down to me.
When did you finish? You were 56 to when? How long were you doing that?
56 until John and Derek. Derek is now down in Norfolk. John passed away. That was in the 88, I think they finished.
It's a full
life
career there.
Now, the I only think other they finished.
The
yeah,
only
88.
Other thing we do is, a couple of more, is, do you think, you didn't have to do any TA, obviously, because you were disabled, you know, as far as the army.
Well, I never done it, but they put me on the supplementary reserve, apparently.
Now,
SR. I don't know. 3 years you're on that. I was never called to go anywhere.
But you were on it.
I was on the supplementary reserve.
53 to 56.
Yeah.
You never had to do anything.
But I've never called to go anywhere, no.
What do you think of the effects that your military service had on you? Good and bad, physically
good.
And mentally?
Oh, good. Mentally, yes. Physically, great. Yeah.
Even with the wounds?
Even with the wounds. I would never have been without it. That was the greatest thing that ever happened, I think so. And for children today, well, they call them children when they're 18, if they do something wrong, they're children all of a sudden. For them to do 2 years, army life, navy life, just say military life.
Now what associations are you a membership? Let's do that. Yes. The one I know and got you to. You're in the British Korean War Veterans Association, aren't you?
Yeah, BKVA.
What does that do for you? Well, not for you, but why is it important to you?
It's important to keep friendships going. Now, let me tell you about this one. The British Korean Veterans Association, there was one, it's still going today. If you are a British Korean vet and you've never been on a revisit to Korea, you can apply. And you get subsidised to go there by the Korean veterans in Korea. Their association subsidise our veterans to revisit Korea. On one particular visit, I've only been once, which was 2002, was the first time, because I wasn't interested in going, knowing that it wasn't the Korea that I knew. But I'm glad I did.
What was it like?
So glad I did go back.
Why? What did you see? What was it like?
Great. First and foremost, I met Bill Hands. We was in Korea, we was in Tripoli together, Egypt together. We volunteered to go to Korea together. And that was the last I see of Bill Hands when we was in Korea. Last I see of him. Until 2002, on a revisit back to Korea, I was convinced I should go. The first day back, not the first day because we're settling in, the next day, before going up to the fortifications and Samachon Valley and all that, we had a girl, a Korean girl, take us to a Korean village, a mock Korean village. So I go to the type, I'm walking through the village, and this guy next to me, he's a corps man. And oh yeah, he says, I remember places like this, he was saying. I said, well, we never got the places like this where we was. I said, the only thing missing is the smell. The smell. I said, yeah, because as you know, the paddy fields, the Koreans fertilise their paddy fields with their own waste. Right, the smell. I said, I'm saying to this guy, I'll tell you a story about the smell. I said, we was on patrol one night, and we're going across this paddy field, which are marked out like our allotments, with an 18-inch footpath dividing you from the paddy field. I said, and there we was, on patrol, silent night, all of a sudden, splash. Somebody's fell in the paddy field, come up smelling. Well, the language from the jocks and the smell, yeah, it took this guy a week to get the smell off him. But the funny thing was, as I'm telling this guy, a voice behind me said, Bill, that was me. And it was Bill Hands. And his wife Sheila, who I hadn't seen since 1953. And it was Billy Hands. That's the guy I was on the phone to this morning, who you would probably go and see later on.
So that was quite something for you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we stayed together for the whole of the 10
and
days.
What did you see on the trip? Did you see everything you wanted to?
We couldn't... Yeah, they took us... What amazed me was that school children, primary school upward, know exactly who you are, and they appreciate you. They cannot do enough for you, the adults, but the children, and all they would... We was told beforehand, if you want to take them a present, take them school utensils, like pencils, rubbers. They was go over the moon with it, yeah, which we did.
So do you attend the meetings of the association, the big cave?
Yeah, Friday. Last Friday of the month, we go to Angel Road, Stratford, and funny enough, there's a pub there called the Railway Tavern, and they let us use their annex for free. They really do.
And so that's something important. I mean, there aren't any other Black Watch, I presume, in the London one.
No.
But you enjoy it anyway.
Yeah.
Now, are you a member of either the Black Watch or
yes,
the
next... The most important thing to me is the Black Watch Association.
Now, why is it so important to you?
It seems that I've come back into the regiment again. You know, I haven't left it. Once you get talking, we have reunions. In fact, Joe Hubble, that Sergeant Major I showed you next door, he's one of the mainstays. But Major Peter Watson, he lives in Surrey, military crossman. He's another jocko there. He's great, isn't he? And it gets a chance. They love you wearing your kilts and your blue bonnets. You must wear your blue bonnet and your red hackle. They can take away your name, which they have done with this merger, Royal Highland Regiment, but they can't take away what you feel inside. We're still the Royal Highland Regiment.
Are you in the Cameron?
Which is the Inverness branch, the Cameron Highlands Association. Now, I think there's 600 of us now. It used to be, when I first come out, I used to get the 70, because they had 79th a foot, the Cameron Highlanders. I used to get the 79th News, which was just like a paper. But then they merged in 61. The Camerons merged with the Seaforth Highlanders to become the Queen's Own Highlanders. So we never had our own newsletter, our own newspaper or whatever, magazine. But now, I think it started up about 6 years ago, the association did, the Cameron Highlands Association.
Did you go to their meetings as well?
When I can. They've just had a gathering, which I couldn't get to, 18th of August. They had a nice gathering and a dinner at Cameron Barracks, but I couldn't make that. Yes, nothing. Now, we're having a dinner the Black Watch. We've organised our block. We've organised a dinner at the Albert Pub upstairs one afternoon, the 27th of September. That will be some dinner. That will be great.
Something to look forward to.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.